forever. Dog.
Hey, bitch. What is your whole deal? Hey, bitch. Just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat
and Pat.
Am I supposed to have any, prepared improvisations?
No.
This is just truly talk therapy.
Real stripped.
If we say anything you don't want to answer, just say stop.
Strike it from the record.
This podcast is ultimately terrible and emotionally damaging to us, our guests, and our listeners.
I love it.
Oh, I wish I said that on air. Is it recording, Meg?
It really is. We're just starting.
Okay, this is avant-garde. This is history.
Are you wearing a baby G watch?
No, this is actually a Timex women's white watch.
Okay, a white women's watch?
Literally,
means it's white.
No.
It's a Timex white woman's watch.
It's a woman's watch that's white.
Okay, great.
And anyone can wear it.
Totally, and that's beautiful.
There's not a wake up alarm. There's a woke up alarm.
And on that cue, get your ears open for our guest, James Adomian.
What?
Welcome.
Oh my God.
Hi. Thank you for having me here.
He just so happened to be in the mix, but I want to be clear about something about this watch. It is a running watch, and I do run, and I'm starting training again.
Yeah.
And that's something that's scary for those around me, because sometimes I get really crazy and obsessive. But what I will say is, I wear this. I do kind of like the look of like a chic white, like kind of athletic watch. Especially if you're wearing all black.
You know what's psycho today? We're actually
We're actually matched.
To wear a white pant with a black top is actually the definition of fashion.
Wait, you're in a white pant?
Shit.
Did you even look at me?
You know that it was a frenetic when I got in.
I stood up to the bathroom and no one cared. You guys just sat there being like, okay.
You guys are both wearing black and white and shades of gray, and I'm here with a maroon shirt with a stain on it.
A pop
you
of
look
color.
Like an all-American boy.
We like our guests to be a pop of color.
I feel like there's nothing more all-American than like jeans and like a red tee.
Totally, and it's a V-neck.
It's Dr. Pepper. Endorsement.
Oh my God.
And I want to be clear.
We have to be honest
with us about something with our listeners. Is that it's a V-neck and there's a chest hair moment going on, and it's huge.
It's true.
A revolution.
We're both addicted to that.
Yeah.
Chest hair?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but me not as much as Catherine, but Catherine.
Me
and
extra, extra.
I'm
extra
actually.
Much.
Thank you for bringing it up. I'm actually in a revival of hair.
Oh my God.
Off Broadway, but it's we're doing it like it's reimagining it as chest hair.
I love
and
that.
Everyone just wears V-necks. That's amazing.
And look at me, it's time.
Did you know that I couldn't? Wait. I have to go public about something. Yeah. Is that I couldn't grow one chest hair to save my life. But recently,
I'll never fuck you, no matter how hard you bet.
Recently, we've been in this. You fuck me, yeah, you wish, bitch. You wish you could fucking peg me like Camille Grammer did to Kelsey. You stupid slut. That's right. Camille Grammer pegged Kelsey Grammer, and that
it's
was
been 1 minute.
And that was featured on this episode of that Housewives of Beverly Hills because they were doing mountain climbing, and she got in her
harness.
She
was open about pegging.
She's unhinged this season, and she was gotten her like harness to rock climb, and she goes, "I'm familiar with this apparatus."
Whoa.
Meaning a harness, because she used to harness on a dodo to fuck Kelsey Grammer, kind of TV's Frasier, if you will.
We're sure that it was that way.
What do you mean?
That she was pegging him?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of been like rumored, and it was kind of her moment to say, yes, the rumors are true. I pegged Kelsey Grammer.
I think I literally learned about pegging from Broad City.
Really?
Is that sad?
Wow.
Years ago. The episode.
And now it's a huge part of your life.
And now every damn day. Every day I wake up, I strap on my harness and I go to tea.
So we have to be honest about another thing is that we're doing our before session after this
I know, just us.
And so I challenge us to give some callbacks during this part, and then we'll have to kind of work them in afterwards.
Sure. Challenging throw callbacks. Now,
enough is enough, James.
Enough is enough.
Enough
for
is
once.
Enough sometimes.
How are you?
I'm great. Good to see you again outside of Mass Mocha.
That was a wild time.
No, you guys made the choice to meet each other in the Berkshires.
We made the choice.
You felt comfortable kind of doing that.
We made the executive decision. Both our teams decided it would be time to meet in the mountains.
Yes.
We did a gorgeous festival at Mass Mocha. It was very fun.
We traveled by secret train and helicopter.
Did you have fun there?
I did.
You were hosting.
I hosted the night you were there, and I hosted the night before. I don't know if you were there more than one night, but I hosted.
I was only there, though.
Two consecutive nights I was the host.
Okay.
And, big performing arts center.
Huge.
Giant art gallery, and it's in the Berkshires. And so I was, like, within hiking distance, Because I was like 2 miles away, and I was thinking, oh, it's the Berkshires. It's beautiful. It's Appalachian mm-hmm. Trail. Mm-hmm. So
I want to go there, the Berkshires.
It's beautiful.
It's breathtaking. Gorge. Did it take your breath away?
I took it away, and then I had a respire again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As it goes. it punched me in the solar plexus, and it took my breath away.
It knocked the wind out of you. I love that. In a
but
space.
I walked what turned into just along the highway for 2 miles, where there was just like McDonald's trash.
I know, it's nasty.
It was because not like a hikeable walk.
Weren't you staying at the famous hotel?
Yeah, we need the to one talk that was built by Wilco.
Wilco made a hotel.
Wait, and I know this, but for our listeners that don't, what is Wilco?
I know, and that's
they're a band from Chicago.
They're a band from Chicago.
Yeah,
are they fracking? What's the deal?
They're for like. They're for dads, but like also like me
is
in
it,
high school.
Is it clothing comp?
They're not a clothing company. They're a band.
Oh, I know.
They're for dads that used to be in a band.
They're for dads that used to be in a band. That's great.
Wow. And they own a hotel.
They're great. I like Wilco. I'm a fan. And they do a festival at Mass Mocha. I guess one of them must live up there or something. One of them built a hotel. And it's so beautiful.
Wow. And you stayed there.
I stayed there, yeah. And it's one of these hotels that has like, the tables are all like... rustic.
Reclaimed.
Reclaimed from the forest. Hewn from ancient grains.
A lot of stuff was hewn at the hotel. A lot of stuff. I, for whatever reason, they chose to place me not at the Wilco gorgeous Instagram hotel, but they sort of had me staying at a Holiday Inn nearby, which I respect.
Right next to the venue.
Can we go to a hotel? Nice. Can we go to a hotel?
I know.
We've never been to a
hotel
together.
Can anyone pay for me and Patrick?
Have we ever been to... look at me. Have we ever been to a hotel together? If we went to a hotel together, it would be the voice of our generation.
You know why? Because me and you are room service sluts.
I know.
You know... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Don't get us started.
Are you a room service slut?
I can be. I can be for sure. But I'm also like, I'm not afraid to seamless to a hotel. Absolutely not.
Oh, I am afraid of that.
I'm not afraid.
I'm deeply afraid of... I'm so afraid of calling seamless to a place where it won't be really easy to forget it.
I know. You know what I mean? Yeah.
There's nothing more mortifying than
and looking for
I
it.
Gave up. I had to go away. Oh no! Or like I'm here. You're not here.
Yeah. And like then like opening your door and being like, hey, like calling out. Like no.
No, I go
was,
down.
I was online to be online.
But well, you live in L.
Yeah, we can. I know, James. We're just meeting, so if you feel comfortable, kind of telling me what your whole deal is. You're an LA. You're an LA princess. You're Princess Charlotte, but make it LA.
I'm LA princess. I'm heir to the throne.
How long have you been there?
I grew up in L.A.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I
lived in New York 2 years in my important years.
What are we talking 20
years? 2011, 2013, in my early 30s.
Early 30s. That's where I am right now.
So that's when I did my stand-up album here in New York, uh-huh. And I was like creaking
Where'd
the cave
you do it?
All the time.
Yeah, you're creaking wow. the cave.
I did it at the Union Hall.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. You're one of us.
We're family.
Right here.
We're a family. If you're in the Union Hall family, you're in our family.
That's the only place that is. Actually, is the only place that is for us.
That's where I was told. That's
that and Shake Shack.
That's where I spent 80% of the last year of my life. Yeah. And I feel really comfortable saying that.
I haven't done a show there in a while.
I do shows there a lot.
I love the picture of Mary Todd Lincoln behind
you. Is that who it is?
I think, I think it is.
I do the same joke every time I start out where I say, I love this image. Kind of, what do I say? I say Princess Leia, but make it colonial.
Yeah.
She's wearing like buns.
Anything you say it about that painting kills. Goes over well. Anything, yeah. You're like, okay, mom.
Yeah,
like,
because she's just there.
She's
yeah.
so there.
She's
staring at you. Not so, laughing, no. but allowing it to take place.
Yeah,
do you believe in ghosts?
Believe in ghosts? I don't believe in them. The question is if they believe in me or not.
Whoa, wow. That's beautiful. Did you guys hear that? Write that down. There's a studio audience.
I like proactive ghosts that are like, James, you can achieve. They're not trying to scare me, mm-hmm. but they're like, James, you know, go to bed earlier. Wake up a little bit.
Stay
get some
course.
Work done.
Wait, so you started in L.A. You were doing comedy.
Where'd
there.
You grow up?
Yeah. In L.A.,
no,
Catherine.
No, okay. Pat, I think it's time for the first segment of our podcast, which is very, very quickly. Who are you?
And who do you want to be?
Wait, is this a recurring?
Yeah.
Who are
I
you?
Love this.
Who are you? Who do you want to be?
This
who is like
you?
The Phil Hartman acting teacher.
Yeah.
This is something. This is nothing. okay, so I am... I am theater.
You are.
Were.
I am theater.
Start with were.
Oh, who were you?
Who were you?
Okay.
Growing up, you went to...
Well, I've already botched it. I've already botched it.
He's furious at me. We're feuding.
Yeah, you guys are in a fight.
Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
Maybe Daily Ding Ding Daily Mail.
Not Daily Mail.
Me and Tati or whatever.
Wait, who's Tati again?
It's a beauty blogger thing.
Okay.
I don't know about it. Do you know about
it? I was beauty.
You were beauty.
Wait, I think
I am theater.
Okay.
And I really want to be bespoke.
Wow.
Wait, what does bespoke mean again?
Like you make it.
It's a suit you make.
You make it. You make it like you make something to order. Bespoke. You make something originally for the occasion.
Oh, interesting.
Like you might go to a bespoke suitor.
As I believe right. Bespoke could translate from whatever ancient mm-hmm. English to as requested. Bespoke.
Oh, like a la carte. Oh, yes, like a la carte?
Yeah. Sure.
It's like a la mode.
No, a la mode.
When you put ice cream on something.
A la mode is when you put ice cream on something.
Isn't that good?
What is it called? And then there's al dente, which means you don't cook pasta.
I'm addicted to al dente. I literally want my pasta to crunch.
No, I hate it because that hurts my head. Biting down on something too crunchy hurts my head.
Really?
Al dente hurts my head, yes.
Never heard that.
Do you know that my British
There's something
lover?
Oddly satisfying about it to me.
No, I like it so soft. Me too. So soft overcooked.
My British lover said his mouth is so soft he can't have foods that are too crunchy.
Oh my God.
Your British lover?
Are you obsessed?
Does he have gloves with holes in them?
No. Is that what you're picturing?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. What kind of gloves are you seeing?
Like Oliver Twist gloves.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. Like the fingerless, like hacker almost. Wait.
It's either a street urchin from the 1800s or a hacker that doesn't have heating in the building.
Or a hacker from like 2007.
The fourth option is like steampunk.
Yeah.
Going to like
Wait, steampunk?
Festival.
No, the saddest thing in the world.
It is the saddest thing in the world.
Saddest thing in the world, actually. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records. And it's in Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah, believe it or not, this is sad. Believe it or not.
There's a Ripley's Believe It or Not room that's steampunk.
You know, it's funny.
Is this the saddest thing in the world?
Believe it or not, something can be this sad. Wait, I actually was home this weekend for Mother's Day. And my parents were selling their house. So we had like, it was kind of like everyone in the basement kind of doing Marie Kondo.
I don't want to fight with you, but every time you go home, you're like,
No, but this really is. They're leaving on Memorial Day.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So everyone was like in the basement, like doing Marie Kondo to their childhood belongings. And everyone was like, people call it the worst thing. Like, I'm one of six kids, so no one really knows whose is what. Except that whenever I have, like, everything's haphazard. You never know who gets what. Like, if I happen to come into, like, possession of someone else's thing, I'm vilified. Like, they're like, you stole my shit, my shit.
But everyone are you the youngest?
I'm the second.
Just second of six?
I'm second, but I demand the most attention. But uh-huh. also, and I command the most attention. But but everyone was like, Patrick, do you still want this? And like, it was literally like a Ripley's Believe It or Not like book. And I was like, that's not mine. That was never mine. My mom was convinced me to want, like, my mom was like, does anyone want these goosebumps or what? And my mom was like, mom, no one. I'm like, I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them because when Jack comes home, I want them. I'm like, no one wants goosebumps in 2019.
My mom's the opposite of a hoarder. She's like addicted to throwing shit away.
My mom can be hoardy, but then she loves to purge. And then if you're throwing stuff out, she'll like get in your ear and she'll be like, but didn't that feel great to purge? It's like, mom, calm down. You're scaring the kids.
My mom, like, when she talks about like cleaning out a closet, she looks like hungry. Like she's so excited to clean out a closet.
I have to be public about something my mom is going through right now. I forget if I shared this on the last episode, but like she made an Instagram to sell a cabinet that she painted.
Right, and you have mentioned this.
I have mentioned this on the pod.
Absolutely. Just
an Instagram for one cabinet?
Yeah. And she is going through something where she's following Ariana Grande and Ariana Grande type people. She doesn't know why. And every time she unfollows them, they come back. So she's trying to... Wait, did I mention that?
No.
Wait, so did they start following her?
They don't follow her, but they're up in her stories, and she keeps unfollowing them, and they keep coming back. It's kind of a modern-day horror tale.
That is ghosts.
Oh, my God.
That is ghosts.
And
that is ghosts.
Moms don't understand how to, like, ruthlessly block things.
Yeah, she isn't. Oh. Yeah, and I'm powerless to help her, because they do keep coming back, but I think she's free from them now.
Moms and dads should be able to call the police. Someone's following me on Instagram.
They should. The police should be available.
Wait, so you were an LA kid. Were you, like, clueless? Or were you 90210?
Pick one.
Okay, closer to Clueless, I guess. Yeah. 90210 is like the 90210 is like a real place. I forgot where they filmed Clueless. Someone's gonna be angry at me.
But it also
I don't remember that.
It was also set in 90210, like that.
It was like a very real place.
And famously, in the show Clueless that aired on UPN, Sean, the character, he was being kicked out of the school actually towards the end of the series because they found out that he actually lived in a different zip code. And Cher gave a speech at graduation. She's like, my friend Sean is being kicked out of the school just because his zip code isn't 90210.
Chills.
Oh my God. Chills. That's like they paid off the title.
Yeah.
At the very end. I was like in high school. If you want to know my high school.
We want to know your high school.
Were you cool?
I was cool. I went to like multiple different groups of kids' lunch tables, mm-hmm. especially by the end. And any of them listening to this are going to be like, yeah, but we didn't like you.
Yeah.
No. But I was like bounce around multiple lunch tables day to day.
Social nomad.
Yes. But I liked all different kinds of people.
Yeah.
I like to check in with this group.
Totally.
Wow.
And I continuing into later young adulthood, I probably had too many extracurricular interests. Mm. I was an athlete and also arts kid.
What'd you play?
I played football and track and field.
Okay. Wait, what
events?
Jock on the pod.
I was pole vaulter.
Wow, my brother was a pole vaulter. Yeah. My brother
was
a pole vaulter.
The thing about that is, what the fuck is that?
Pole vaulting is a weird sport, and that's why I went for it. Because I was like a funny, goofy kid, and I'm like, I ran 400 meters because you have to, but I was like, I want something different. And pole vault is very different. It's also the most dangerous. It's like the deadliest high school sport. Because if you don't have enough momentum when you hit the pole on the vault, it can swing sideways and you bash your head against the thing, and that's so it's a very
oh my god
dangerous sport. Yeah.
I'm against
okay.
it. my kids are not going to pole vault.
My kids won't either.
They can't. You can also impale yourself.
Yeah,
you can also impale yourself.
I've seen the YouTube.
Shut up. Wait, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's where you take a big stick.
Yeah, a stick, and you run with it and lower it into a hole in the ground, and then when it hits the hole, you time it right so that you jump up and the pole bends and it takes you over this the standard, which is how high you're supposed to be able to achieve.
So were
you
good?
Were you good at
pole?
There
is a hole.
I was good, but
a little crate, a little. Give it.
I really don't like this.
Sorry. I was good, but not anywhere near worth talking about.
Yeah,
I think my record was a 14-foot
vault. That's good.
And if you're pole vaulters out there listening, no, that's not that good.
No, it's like you were a real pole vaulter.
I could do it.
You vaulted yourself 14, higher than I'll ever vault.
14
myself.
Feet isn't nationally elite, but it's a good.
Yeah,
I know it. I'm really into track and field.
Wow.
I was a distance whore though, but my brother did pole vault and I kind of know the heights.
You could have.
I kind of know the heights.
I wish there was adult places where you could just grab a pole and just play basketball, you could just pole vault around.
Yeah.
With Aperol spritzes.
Or if you could commute somewhere.
Wait, what is Aperol spritz? It's all the rage. I'm over. I'm over
it's
watching
champagne, Aperol, which is an aperitif, and soda. And
spritz. Spritz.
Yeah. I'm over watching, Summer House or other reality shows about 30-somethings, and I'm over them all ordering Aperol spritz. Like they're
30-somethings or the new 20-somethings.
I know.
Now you're
that was bald. Almost.
I've been paid.
That's bold.
I've been paid to say that. I'm my 30-year-old.
By me, I've been Mogata.
Yeah, I'm not.
Some brands online are like, we're noticing that too many 30-year-olds are giving up.
Yeah.
We want to inspire them to continue engaging with our brands.
And the funniest thing is that literally the only people who listen to this podcast are 16 years old.
I
know. I don't know even who I'm doing this for.
It's crazy. We have a lot of college kids.
Okay, so you're pole vaulting, but you're like,
I'm pole vaulting around.
In theater?
Yes, and I played football, and I was in theater the whole time.
Oh my god, what were your shows?
Oh god, not like what do you call them? Melodramas, little
Lord melodrama, Lord melodrama.
My dear, the murder has taken place.
Oh, Arsenic and Old Lace.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a monologue from Arsenic.
That sounds
and old
a good play. My dear, murder has taken place. That's a play I would watch. I don't like plays typically.
My dear murder.
My dear murder.
I would love to see you write and star in a play called My Dear Murder.
Were you hilarious?
Yes. I mean, that's why I got into it, was because it was the acceptable way to get on stage and make fun of people or do funny things.
Are your parents hilarious?
Sure. Yes. And in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
six?
What are we talking?
Yes, I have three brothers.
Oh my god.
And where do you fall?
I'm the oldest.
Wow. He falls on top. We're on bottom.
Wait, what do you mean?
Not anymore these days.
No.
Oh, you're a bottom.
As I get older, yeah.
As I'm older, you're a bottom.
It's not supposed to go that way.
Yeah, that kind of goes against trend, which is cool.
Actually, I'm lying. I've just always been a bottom.
Oh, that's fine, too.
That's beautiful.
Wait, I have a question. What do you mean your parents?
I'm always a bottom, but I prefer to top.
Oh, God. So the self-esteem thing.
Politically, I'm a bottom.
Fiscally, I'm a bottom. But
that's so funny.
But socially, I'm a top.
Fiscally.
Wait, I have a question. Mm-hmm. What do you mean your parents are funny in different ways?
Well, okay, my dad's got a good voice and could ruthlessly make fun of people. And my mom's, I don't know, my mom is sarcastic and sillier, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's just I grew up laughing with both of them and both of their sides of the family, both of their families.
Oh,
and
pictured so them. I just pictured a montage.
Me too.
You know,
I grew up laughing.
There's very different people and different families that laugh at different things. Totally. And I've always been, I guess I've always been like a satellite dish that was just like soaking up what was funny about anything.
Yeah. You've always been a social nomad, even in the family lines. Wait.
My God, you're figuring out.
I'm an investigative journalist. Yeah. Don't say I'm not. I'm not, but I could be if I wanted to be.
It's a fluff piece with a dash of hard-hitting journalism.
Wait. I feel like I'm Fraser Crane getting pegged on an advice-oriented radio show.
Wait. What's the deal with your brothers?
I don't know.
Really? Are you close or are you like over them?
I don't know. Close to a couple of them. And they're all kind of, we're all kind of grown up. And so everybody's, some people are busy. And one of my brothers is engaged, getting married. And so.
Oh, cool.
Congratulations.
Do you love that or do you hate that?
I love it. It's great.
Oh,
it's great.
You like her?
I do. And I'm not getting married.
No, me neither.
Not until, I'm getting married exactly when I'm 55.
I love that.
And it's going to be like, it's going to be like a really clownish bow tie gay theater event.
Cool. So are you S or T, single or taken?
S or T? I guess I'm not taken anymore.
So you broke up?
Yeah.
What happened?
I'm sorry.
Are you sad?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
When?
Yes.
When? Tell us when.
Well, this is in my stand-up act, actually.
Okay.
Feel comfortable?
So it's fair play.
So I'm fair play.
Turnabout is fair play.
I was in I made up a boyfriend for my stand-up act, and then made him dump me just to pay it off, just to change my material.
Totally.
No, that really happened. We were together for over a year and really in love, and then it ended. And so now I'm just sort of, it's been almost as long that we've been broken up, I guess. And so I'm like, in this new place where I'm not terribly motivated to date people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I guess I'm single, but I'm still like, oh, what is this thing that's not single? It's
you're
just
single,
like
but
over it.
You're single, yes. Yeah. You're not on the prowl, but you're not taken.
I'm not on the prowl, and I feel guilty about it, but then I'm like, okay, don't worry. You can prowl again.
It's cool.
Don't feel guilty. Yeah, my God, it's way cooler to be like, I'm not in the mood.
One of the chicest things in the world can be to be not on the prowl. How many boyfriends have you had?
Not terribly many. And
me too.
Like, I would say more than half of my boyfriends.
I said one boyfriend.
More than half of my boyfriends were in New York, but they were like, it was like short term. It was like speed dating boyfriends where it was like 3 to 6 months each time.
Yeah.
And the 2 years I lived in New York, it was just like, I was thinking about it the other day because I'm in New York and it's raining and I'm walking around going like, what did I do on this street?
I know.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go through like long periods of being single and then sometimes a relationship happens and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But
you don't need it. You don't need it. I get the sense from you, you don't need it.
I'm not always looking to be settled down with somebody.
Yeah.
There's things I get more shit done if I'm single.
I know.
Because there's no one else to explain to that I have to. That I have to do stand up all the time at night, and then I have to do cartoons and acting stuff all the day in the daytime.
Yeah,
and like, you know, where you're like, oh no, I just want to, I want to work until 11 p.m. and have nobody tell me,
that's not a
problem, or I want to do nothing until noon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's super real.
But I also feel like sometimes when I'm in a relationship, I'm forced to do more and less laying around because they're kind of like around, and I'm like, I want to look like I'm doing something.
It's almost, this is like from a performer point of view, it's like there's always an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you have no idea.
There's also always an audience that wants a refund.
The other day I was like, I'm in a bad mood. I know it will put me in a good mood. If I go on some random date, I'll be in a good mood because I'll be performing for this random person. And that'll cheer me up.
Yeah,
and
but
that's sort of what I've been actually.
Yeah, I feel like for me lately, it's been actually helpful. I'll be in a good mood if I have right for 30 minutes, even if it's bad.
No, that's true.
That's been really helpful.
You're doing really good lately.
What puts you in a good mood for 30?
If I do something productive, like if I write for 30 minutes, then I'll be like, then I, because sometimes I'll be like, oh my God, like so. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, I have a disease right now where I'm watching like 4 to 5 seasons a month of old Survivor, and so sometimes I'm actually one of the first known cases of the disease, and there's no cure, and I'm a rare blood type, so yeah.
But, there's no cure, there's like a methadone where they put you on like other reality shows.
I'm going to a methadone clinic where I just kind of watch Big Brother for a couple hours a day. But if I'm like, well, what if I just, you know, even if I, my new addiction is playing with
this
wick.
Is that wax
off? So there, no, there's basically like a candle in front of me, and basically,
every, a
and essentially every time I'm here, I touch the wick and my hand turns black.
It's
and
this that's island, island coconut mahogany.
Oh, is that really what it's called? To tack on mahogany is really bold.
I know, it's like,
I just think it smells to me that I wouldn't call that island coconut mahogany. I would call that smell someone that you meet in West Hollywood and go home with them, but they're cooler than you.
Wait, what's the West Hollywood?
I would
call this if you can't cut it, just pass it to me and I'll try.
Okay, you're
I'm joking. That was a Catherine. That was a textbook joke.
Something about where is that taking me? Where is that taking me?
This is taking me to
something about like a sad salon.
This is taking me to lotion.
Men's salon.
My run-in with candles is every time it's taking me to suntan lotion, but they always do.
I know. That's where I went first.
That's the coconut.
Yours was so good. Your James's was so good.
Yeah. Wait, all right. So as someone who
you know what I mean when you go home with somebody and you're like, oh, they're way cooler than me. They know music.
Totally.
No, I'm always the cooler one.
I'm never the cooler one.
Who are this fucking loser? I'm so sick of this.
I'm tired of taking these losers home. Why do I fly across the country to West Hollywood to take these losers home?
Honey, if I knew, I'd tell you.
Is it better to be gay in New York or to be better to be gay in L.A.?
It depends on what you're looking for.
What are you looking for?
What are you looking for? And then I'll swap it into a city. I would say, okay, this has been said. People know this about New York City. New York City, especially in the summer, is even into the. I mean, I don't know. All year round, it's like publicly sexy where you can walk down the street and someone can look at you and be like, "I want to have sex with you."
Yeah, yeah.
That happens less in L.A. And people are like, "Well, James, also you're you looked better when you were
No.
Okay, I'm there's people inside my head that are like hecklers.
Get them out. Get them out on the pod.
I adapt my act to these hecklers in my head. Yeah. I feel like New York is more openly sexy, and you can be like, you can be people. Something about the city stresses people out to where they're like, I need to get out of here.
Uh-huh.
And like, I feel like half the people you encounter all the time in New York are like, I just have to get out. I had to get out of my apartment. And I've stressed out. I've been stressed for 10 days. Sure, yes, let's fuck.
Yeah. So New York is better New York is better for kind of fucking a cracked out, like, finance person.
I'm making it sound terrible.
No, I agree.
It's so true. It's like, whenever we see each other, it's just like,
I know, but I'm like, is it New York or is it me?
It's both.
But then in L.A., it was very like...
Do you want to know the most interesting thing about me?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's how she starts all her conversations. Welcome to strangers at parties.
New York, I can't stop getting absolutely slammed. In L.A., I've only fucked people who I've met in New York.
You're in New York.
Oh, first. That is also very true.
Yeah.
L.A. is much worse for meeting people.
Yeah.
And you have to... I've grew up there, and now I'm... almost 40, so I'm at the time of my life where I'm like, I don't care. And that is probably, that's oddly like the best way to meet people in
totally.
LA. Yeah. Or have a bar or places or shows that you always go to, like where there's a scene that you go to in LA.
Do you have a bar or a spot?
Yes, I have a couple.
Is it Sir?
No. Sir?
Reality TV.
Reality TV.
Oh, okay.
Vanderpump Rules.
Oh,
you don't care.
Pump.
You don't care
it's
about
not your spot.
No, I forget. Where is that?
That's in West Hollywood. Pump is also in West Hollywood.
No, I don't go to West Hollywood. I'm Silver Lake.
James,
Silver Lake.
You're the only one shouting.
What's your spot?
I used to work in West Hollywood before Vanderpump Rules. Before the reign of Vanderpump.
It didn't exist.
A simpler time.
What do you call them? Dynasty. I used to work at this bar called the Motherlode in West Hollywood. Shout out to the Motherlode.
Shout out.
You guys go to the Motherlode.
Yes,
go to the Motherlode. Treat the bartenders well.
Because they could be on your podcast. Could be on your podcast.
Now I'm plugging my old job.
And we actually only allow one plug, so that's going to have to be your only plug.
Guys, plugging my job from 2005 to 2006.
That's amazing.
I have two questions. One, how did you meet your most recent boyfriend?
At a diner in L.A.
That's 90s rom-com. That's my Brian. Got Mail.
It was. We met at a diner, and then we were friends for a few months, and then we started ruthlessly fucking.
You're sitting there. you see this person.
Are you with Fran?
How do you start talking?
Oh, I saw this. I came in and it's you know, like 1 a.m. So we've both separately been at different bars.
Okay, so it's a late night.
Late night diner. I came in and it was like, there's not a lot of people. And I was like, oh my God, this is super hot guy.
Yeah.
So I was a little scared. So I didn't sit next to him. I sat one seat over.
Were you guys alone?
We were not alone, but we were kind of alone in that corner.
But was it the bar of the was it the bar of the diner?
No. Different. We had come from different places.
No, but was it like, you know how like a diner's was a diner bar?
They were at the diner bar.
Okay.
I've heard of that. Yeah, sure. Where they're like, there's a bar in the back?
No. You know like how they're like, when you walk into a restaurant, they're like, you want to sit at the bar or the table?
Oh, it's at the counter.
The counter.
Oh, that's the word we were looking
for. That's the word we were searching for.
Oh, thank you. We didn't know that.
We didn't know that.
Yeah, we were sitting at the counter and he started talking to me and then it's like, you know where the thing, and he's younger than me, so there was like this this thing where you're like, kunk, 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 kunk.
Someone's
he's
younger than
me. Kunk, kunk, kunk.
I'm not just some fool. And of
you're
course,
no fool.
Now, he would say, no, James, you are some fool. That's why I started talking to you.
So wait, first of all, sidebar, what's your type?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
No type necessarily. I like. Do you like my honk sound?
That was kind of fun.
I don't have like a strict type. Except the strict type.
Do you like Y or O? Younger or older?
Used to like older, but as I get older, what I realized was it's an age range.
Really? I wonder if that
will
happen.
It's an age range.
That's what's porny to you.
It's an age range between 25 and 45, which is kind of, and so I'm like now approaching the upper limit of that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I get older if I'll like younger. Right now I like older.
Right now you like older because you're
but not that much. I always
you're
say
30-ish.
I'm 30 flat. I'm 30 and 6. I'm 30 and 6 months.
Flat. I'm 30 flat. 30 even. Even Steven.
Literally just had my 30
push,
and 6 months.
No bets.
I want a fucking old guy.
You want to? Well, that's the thing too. Is maybe also my age range is slightly creeping up because the thing that happens is, how do I put this? Boys who are 23. Are super hot in a way that's hot when you're 23, mm-hmm. but now I'm like, I'm not going through any of that.
Yeah,
anymore.
I know. Boys who are
23. I need someone who's advanced if they're going
to
be.
I can't even talk to someone younger than 26.
I want a fucking old divorcee.
I can't.
They speak a different language.
They do. They don't get me.
They speak a language of like,
hey.
The only people I ever
do you like
meet.
My impression of a 26-year-old. Yeah. Hey. When I was 25, I was like, hey. But now I'm like 26. So I'm
different.
Just like, I figured it out.
And then there's
like, I'm 27. I wish I could get back to 26.
I know. That's Catherine. Catherine's 27. Can you believe we're a senior freshman?
I know. Can you believe that? No one talks about that. For you to be
when I was
senior,
a senior
buddy.
Yeah, when I was a senior, Catherine was a freshman. No one talks
not
about that.
Not in the same place. We did not know each other.
Senior freshman.
But that's sort of the gap.
Oh, wow.
And that's why this is porny. that was the naughtiest
thing. Varsity frosh mm-hmm. off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait.
How did you settle on 55 as the number you would have your wedding?
Oh, that was just pure. I was just grabbing at something.
Textbook joke.
I just thought 55 is like 16 years away, so I have plenty of time to worry about it.
Yeah.
That's so much
I don't,
time.
I mean, I have plenty of time to like not care about it and then think of it later.
Do you think
I just kick the can down the road.
Yeah. Do you think you think that day will ever come where you do care about it, or do you think you'll always kick the can?
I don't know. I've been madly in love in my life.
Oh, my God.
I've been terribly lonely in my life.
Yeah.
I've been neither, where I'm like focused on work.
Yeah, that's the best place
and,
to be. Because you're most in control.
And then there's other things that aren't, I mean, that don't fit into my three-part life cycle. Mm-hmm. But there's like other moments that aren't worth going into.
Yeah. Almost none of this is worth
parts
going
of
into.
My life,
here we sit going into it.
Parts of my life, I've been really lonely.
Oh my
parts
God.
Of my life, I've been fulfilled and in love.
So we have to be clear that James
that
has been on
so
his death.
Much.
James has been on his deathbed this whole time, and this is kind of like his last rites.
Would you rather be madly in love or terribly lonely?
I don't know if you if the listeners would understand this, but I have half-written poems that are scattered on the floor on sheets of paper.
Totally. Yeah. And they're beautiful.
And copies of the Atlantic magazine.
coffee mug stains on the magazines.
My cat, which I'm now realizing will outlive me.
You're giving me Love Actually guy.
Beginning. Fair.
What's that actor's name? I love him to death.
George Plimpton.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
And what's your dream?
My dream. My dream is to just get back to New York.
Really?
Time for medical science advances that make me feel like I'm 32 again.
I know. I know. God. I'm going to be 32 in 18 months. No one's talking about it. That'll be good for me, I think. Don't you see me as 32?
32 is my... I think my favorite time was 30 to 33, and specifically 31, 32.
This is my favorite time right now.
Oh, my God. Wait.
I'm in my favorite time. It's amazing.
So I should look forward to the future? Now I've heard everything. I shouldn't dread my death. It's different for women.
I guess most things
look
are.
At look at this. It's not
you're rubbing your cheeks.
Catherine's rubbing her cheeks right now.
They're so bouncy.
And she's saying, look at this.
So you like the cheeks bouncing?
Yeah, I like my big asshole cheeks.
Uh-huh. And the problem is you're saying they won't bounce forever.
Soon I'll have a sort of hollow, slack jawed.
Oh, yeah.
I'll look like Scream.
I love Scream. Don't start about Scream because I love Scream.
Not that Scream.
I know. Wait, yes,
the painting.
The movie or the painting, yeah.
Oh.
You know what defines our friendship? He's the movie, I'm the painting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Scream.
Every?
Yeah.
Sounds like
is
this.
Is that Wilhelm's? Is that what it's called? You know that sound? Wilhelm.
The Wilhelm Scream?
Yes, Wilhelm Scream.
It's
a stock sound.
I hate
it's
the
like
name Wilhelm.
It's like, I forgot what it is actually. Your headphones popped off.
I know. Crazy. You're kind of making this podcast is going to go popping up. All right. Even.
Wait.
My hair is slick. Wait, it's clean.
The name Wilhelm, I'm like, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in certain spaces.
Are you thinking of Willem?
Nope.
That's a hot name to me.
Nope. I'm thinking of Wilhelm.
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't like Willem Dafoe.
Why? Because my teeth. I'm teeth forward.
Okay, well,
where's he from?
Because he's Dutch. He's Amsterdam, but he's lived in New York forever.
Oh my God, I love that.
Willem Dafoe. There was a firefight.
What's your fave voice to do?
You're a voice queen.
Oh my God,
he's a voice queen.
I am a voice queen. Yes. It changes over time, I guess. Yeah. Do you like my?
I'm gonna sample that for my new pop hit.
I do a lot of cartoons, so a lot of voices I just come up with in the booth and then they go away.
You're living the dream to do cartoons.
I used to work in promos and these voiceover stars would come in pajama pants. Like they seem like they live the best life.
Pajama pants is actually that's a power outfit if you're in the voiceover industry.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm.
That is our version of wearing a Brooks Brothers suit on the subway. that's what Burbank does to really show that you like have made it.
Yeah, you throw on a pair. I love pajama pants. I feel erotic.
I feel completely trapped in pajama pants.
I feel amazing in them.
You feel completely trapped. In pajama pants.
The earnestness with the desperation in your voice.
That is, if you started with that, you could write a book that literally would be like on the Vapid top 100 greatest. People would be like, this book, it speaks to my vapors.
Oh my vapors. Oh my God, completely the vapors.
Trapped.
I love that.
I feel trapped in pajamas. A 10-part essay series.
You know why? It's because it reminds me how do I ever explain this? I'm from Houston, Texas, where it's famously always hot.
Oh, I hate hot.
And there
hot.
Was always this performance of
it
Christmas
Eve.
It
is always hot there.
It's always hot. And there was this performance Christmas Eve of wanting to be in the snow, wanting to be in this cabin. And so I'd slip into my pajama pants. And every night I would wake in a heat, just heaving, sweating. And I'd rip them off. And I'd be like, Christmas isn't for me, I guess.
Does it never snow in Houston? Or like once every 20 years?
Once every 20 years, there's a light snow.
So it's never cold. And so the weather it's like hot rain or tornado. That's the weather.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like winter is like a nice fall day in New York.
And that's what's
and that can be amazing.
And that's what they would have you believe LA is. I go to LA for
9 days. Oh, fuck LA.
And it was literally.
It's so cold.
It was 40s, the whole time 40s.
It's actually been really cold in LA lately.
Every time I go, I'm
40s. We're talking about 40s.
What you were sold was the Randy Newman video. Sunglasses, palm trees.
Yeah.
Like babes in bikinis.
That's I wanted to be a babe in bikini.
I went there. You know, the palm trees are there, but it's but they don't tell you is it's cold around the palm trees. And you're like, oh, you look at the palm tree, you're like, you're a liar.
And I go on the record saying palm trees make me want to die.
Yeah.
There's something so...
Well, palm trees make themselves want to die because they don't grow naturally in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
How do they get there?
They were planted because they grow in Palm Springs. So they were all planted for the Olympics in the 20s, I guess. And they're all about to die.
Wow.
So there's a big debate in Los Angeles whether to replant the palm trees since they have to be replanted.
Every 80 years.
Every 90 years or something.
I say
or
just do it.
Do it with native LA plants, which is more like, I don't know, chaparral bushes and stuff like that.
I don't
what
care about that.
What side of the debate do you fall on?
I'm a moderate. I'm a centrist on this issue.
You're reaching across the aisle.
I say phase out some of the palm trees mm-hmm. and keep some of them symbolically because of how iconic they are. They're not hurting anybody. Yeah.
When I land in an airport, I want there to be palm trees. Inside the airport, actually.
Inside the airport.
Those are unhappy trees you know, just to make you happy.
There's a space in New York City near the Oculus, which is a space from the future. But
I feel very safe there.
It's the office building where the mom of the kids and nanny work. There's like a lobby where there's palm trees everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's a getaway.
The Oculus.
It's the closest thing I've been to to a vacation in years.
Are you sure you're not just accidentally walking into the Oculus?
No, the Oculus is like sterile. Like it's a spaceship. It's like that's where the kid I nanny boxes.
But it's a great place to charge your phone.
It's an amazing space for that. And it's actually an amazing space to raise your scooter, which no one talks about.
To raise your scooter?
To raise your scooter.
You can't
raise your scooter. They're terrible school districts.
I adopted a bird, and now it's a full-on Lyme.
Do you have pets?
No, I have plants.
I don't like when people have plants.
Also a stand-up joke. Also, every third topic is actually something I've talked about in my stand-up.
See, oh, so are you dragging me for even asking?
See, there's certain straight couples, and maybe gay, we're learning, who are, like they get so obsessed with buying plants that they need something that I call a plant shelf where they have these shelves in their apartment. The entire shelf is just plants. I'm like, now you've gone too far, and now I need to call one of your loved ones and tell them that you need to move home from New York.
Most of my plants I've had for a long time and they're outside.
That's better. That's where they belong.
He's a moderate.
I'm a moderate. I'll coddle it more. Sometimes if a plant comes back from the dead, you're like, this plant is hardy and deserves a life.
Nice.
If a plant bounces back, you're like, all right, I'm writing you into the will.
Yeah, for 3 years of my life, I was in a long-term relationship, and we talked about things like plants. And now, when I see a couple, who have, whether or not they have plants or not, I just feel bad for them. What stage is that? I'm just like, ugh. The idea of setting up house with someone feels horrible.
Nesting.
I'm nesting with myself.
That's beautiful. I want to
eating Kit Kats in bed. I can't stop.
Well, we recently had an experience where Catherine was addicted to buying Kit Kats, and I was addicted to
these. I relapsed.
Did you? I'm sorry.
I relapsed.
You were doing amazing for a while.
I didn't have them forever, and then all of a sudden
we would walk into a CVS. You wouldn't even look at the Kit Kats.
Is it triggering?
Wait, we're going.
Is it triggering for you to have something that snaps in half vertically?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so
guys,
beautiful.
We're going to hear
the
about...
The edges, they're so chocolate.
We're going to hear about Catherine's Kit Kat relapse when we come back.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.